Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. This is none other than Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I am actually standing in this morning for my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, who is actually at a convention this weekend, but he does send his love to each and every one of you, and he definitely said that he will be back again on Tuesday next week to pick up where he left off. He says he misses you all greatly, and he loves you, and he is praying for you. Amen. In the meantime, I will be in his stead this morning for Kingdom Lifestyle broadcast. Just want to do the announcements real quickly and then get right into this word. As many of you know who have been with this ministry for quite some time, and if you're new to this ministry, we want you to know that our broadcast is hosted every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 in for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me, Prophetess McQueen, for Prophetic Atmosphere, and you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That is also our website. We invite you there. Take some time to learn more about us, the ministries that we cover, amen, what it is that we do, amen, and even pray while you're doing that. Pray about becoming a vision partner and a prayer partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. From any of you that wish to have or host Apostle McQueen or myself at your church, or would like to come speak, on our webpage, there's a contact tab there. You can go to that webpage, or excuse me, that contact page, and please leave us as much detailed information as you can concerning your program, a good contact number or email address, and someone will reach out to you within 12 to 24 hours. Also want to let you know that we, when I say we, Apostle McQueen and myself, are also on YouTube. We have YouTube pages where he and I are both ministering the powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can find us on YouTube under Bishop Works 1. That's B as in boy, I-S-H-O-P-W-O-R-K-S as in Sam, the number 1. If you go to that page, subscribe to that page, you can actually hear, amen, and see both myself and Apostle McQueen ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we also invite you there to leave any messages for us as well, praise reports, you know, just encouraging words to let us know how it is that the Word of God is affecting and changing your life. Amen. Amen. Also, people of God, we have a Facebook page as well. Like us on those pages. Go under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries or Women of Prophetic Destiny, also known as WOPD. Amen. We do invite you there to like us. Leave your prayer requests, your praise reports as well. Amen. Let us know what God is doing in your life. Amen. As we touch and agree with you, we are believing, amen, that he's going to do exceedingly above all that we can ever ask or think. Amen. And as God is moving in your life, people of God, let us know if this ministry has, as we, the prayer warriors, have prayed for you and ministered on behalf, amen, of what you're doing or what you're asking God to do, amen, and God answers that prayer, let us know what's going on so that we can also let the people of God know all over the world through our Facebook pages and our blog talk as well that God is still in control. Amen. That's right. God is still in control. And we still need to let people know, amen, that he is in control. Hallelujah. Now, I want to get into this word. Amen. I'm excited about what he's doing. I'm going to just delve a little deeper in the book of Nehemiah. That's where Apostle has been ministering. Amen. And I just want to continue there. As the Lord has laid upon my heart some things, amen, concerning the book of Nehemiah and the different things that that we as a people of God need to be aware of, amen, but not only aware of, but realize that we can overcome, amen, all situations and circumstances. We can overcome as long as we have a word from the Lord. And as long as you have the word from the Lord and you have the confirmation of the Lord, amen, and you're in the timing of God, then nothing, and I do mean nothing, can stop you. Amen. But I just want to encourage the hearts of the people today because so often we tend to get sidetracked. We tend to get discouraged. Amen. And we kind of often quit. Well, if you have been following this ministry any time, any length of time, you know, amen, that we are constantly talking about the kingdom and fulfilling your assignment. And one of the things that I minister to, and if you even heard me a couple of weeks ago, that the Lord led me when I was ministering at my women's conference, is that opposition will come. I'm going to say that again. Opposition will come. Just like offenses will come, but you have to understand that you don't, can't allow those offenses or that opposition to stop you. You can't allow the distractions to deter you, to derail you. You got to make sure that you stay on the path and the assignment. Now, there's a difference, amen, when God has told you, confirm the word in you, sent the prophetic word from north, south, east, and west, and opposition is coming, then that's a good thing. That means keep moving forward. You're doing something right. You're doing it right. You're doing it correct. But then there's another thing when God is telling us to do one thing, and we decide, I said that, I'm going to say that again, and we decide that we want to do something else opposite of God because we feel it's too hard, we feel it's too challenging, it's not popular enough, I'm not being recognized, my name is not being lifted up, it's not bringing me glory, and we decide that we want to be like Jonah and do our own thing and just sit on our gifts and sit on our prophetic word and just, you know, stay out of church and I'm just going to go over here and do what I want to do because this is more comfortable to me. Then when opposition comes, it's more so to come to get you to turn the corner, to get you to move up off of the seat of do nothing or the seat of this is not my will for your life and turn the corner and complete the assignment that God has for you. But I'm not talking about that assignment this morning. I'm talking about the assignment that God gives and the opposition that comes along with completing the will, the purpose, the design, the assignment, the task for your life. Amen? Come on, let's pray and then get into this word. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this hour, this season in our lives. Lord, I pray right now that we, your people, will hear what you have to say this morning. Open up our minds, open up our hearts, open up our spirits, open up our spiritual ears right now that we may hear what it is that you have to say. If we have not heard anything else, God, open us up this morning that we definitely will walk away with a clear understanding of what it is that you need us and want us to do. In the name of Jesus, Father, even now we ask for forgiveness. Wash us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all wickedness. Cleanse our heart. Take out, God, take off the iniquity, Father, in our hearts and our minds. Cover us with the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus over our hearts, our minds, our souls. God, help us to walk out this kingdom lifestyle. Help us to walk out our purpose, our assignment in you. Help us, God, give us strength right now. Take out the fear. Take out the doubt. Take out the discouragement, God. Take out the fear of man, the fear of things, the fear of failure, the fear of success. Father, we curse it right now at the root. We pull it up. We call it null and void. We send it back to the pit from which it came. God, Father, we speak now in Jesus' name. We speak now of boldness, spiritual boldness. We speak clarity. Father, right now as we hear your word, we take out, we tear down all negativity in the atmosphere. Every word that we have spoken, God, that has been negative, we tear it down now. We uproot it. We call it null and void in the name of Jesus. We come forth now in the boldness of Christ. We come forth now in the boldness of Jesus' authority. Right now, we thank you right now. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Wherever you may be, just give him a shout of hallelujah. Give him a thank you, Jesus, and a glory to the King. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Just also letting you know, people of God, as we delve into this word, I'm bringing this word this morning from Jacksonville, Florida. We, like I said, we are out on assignment. Apostle's out on assignment, and I'm actually with him this morning. So just pray for our traveling mercies. Amen. Amen. As we're on our way back from this assignment. Book of Nehemiah, coming out of chapter 4. Amen. And the word of the Lord reads as such. But it came to pass, reading out of the New King James Version. I'm reading out of the King James Version. Excuse me. It says here, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we build the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So build we the wall, and all the wall was joined together up on a half, unto the half thereof. For the people had a mind to work. I'm going to say that one more time. For the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobias, verse 7, and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and the hearing, and especially the doers of his word. Listen, people of God, this morning, the Lord has really placed in my spirit since the conference and even before the conference when I preached the message, as I spoke of this earlier, don't abort your assignment. And one of the points that the Lord made in Nehemiah, coming out of chapter 2, verses 17 through 21, one of the things that I said is that opposition will come. I spoke of real briefly that first you had to make sure that your word lined up with his word, your vision lined up with his vision. Amen. Second, we talked about that even after your word lines up with his word, you get your confirmation of the word. But then we talked about one of the primary things we talked about was that opposition will come. And finally, the fourth part was that you shall be an overcomer. But the main thing where many of us fall prey in the body is that opposition. We're afraid of confrontation. We're afraid of anybody saying anything that is opposite of what we believe in. Whenever someone comes and says, I don't believe that, even if they know what you are saying is true, even if they're looking at the statistics and the facts in front of them, because someone rises up and says, I don't believe that, we shy away, and then for many of us, we'll even change our belief system, change our opposite or point that we have made just so that we can fall into alignment and agreement, even when we don't agree, even when we are fully persuaded of what we've been told and what the stats and what the statistics, have shown us. People have a tendency to not want to cause any waves. And because people don't want to cause waves, they'll go ahead and back down and become belittled and fade into the background because I just don't want people to not like me. Well, I'm here to say that if you are in the kingdom of God, the moment that you invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your life, you have already became an enemy, amen, against the world. The enemy already does not like you. Why? Because you are marked by him. I'm going to say that again. You are marked by him. One more time, M-A-R-K-E-D. You are marked by him. He has put his signature up on you. His name is written up on you. So I need you to pull up your bootstraps. I need you to dry the tears. I need you to come out of the corner, amen, of life and begin to rise up in the power and the authority that Jesus Christ has given you and begin to take that authority in the atmosphere and get back into the game, amen, and begin to fight the good fight of faith and complete what God has given for you to do. Mm-hmm. I know somebody didn't like that because you're already shaking. Well, you just don't understand. We don't have to understand. We don't have to understand. Nobody is saying here that you don't have a right to be nervous. No one's saying that you don't have a right to be scared to a point because there's the fear of, ooh, this is something new. Ooh, this is something different. We all know this. But when fear begins to paralyze you, if you have nothing, then if you have no fear, we're in this human body and you're not alive. But where our fault come in is that when that fear begins to paralyze you and that spirit of fear, false evidence appearing real, when that fear, that spirit, that vile spirit begins to speak in your ear and begins to paint a picture and formulate a plan in your mind of things that, you know, have no existence on even happening, then you have given the enemy power over your life. You've given the enemy power over your assignment. You have given the enemy power over you. As long as he can keep you bound in your mindset, then you're no effect to the kingdom. And here's really the root of all of this thing. You forget the Bible talks about the vine dresser and those who he gave money to in order for them to be able to produce and bring back a mighty harvest. And there was the one, amen, we're talking about the talents now, where he gave one talent and he said, I was fearful of you. I knew what you were going to do, so I hid the talent. I'm just bringing this, just kind of paraphrasing all of this. Well, while he hid, amen, the talent in the ground, it said that the gardener, the vine dresser, was very wroth with him, took the talent, gave it to the one who had 10, gave him more, and the one who only had one that buried it in the ground, he cast away. He cast away. You figure out that what that means, cast away. In other words, it wasn't a good look. Okay? He wasn't on his way to heaven and he was so glad. He was cast away. So why let your fear, why let that spirit of fear rule and reign in your life? It doesn't belong there. Procrastination. Well, I don't fear anything, but yeah, you don't fear anything, but you have a hard time getting anything started. You it's got to be perfect. Everything you do, it's got to be perfect. I'm just a detailed person, but it's got to be perfect. And nothing's wrong with being a detailed person. But when it's so detailed where you never get the project started, that's fear, baby. I'll put it off tomorrow. What is that? That's fear. It's all underneath the root of fear. Every excuse we make is fear. Listen, opposition will come. And it came here to even Nehemiah through ridicule. He said it right here. He said, but it happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant. I'm reading out of the New King James Version now, and I think I might want to take it out of the Message Bible. But he said, listen, he got really indignant and mocked the Jews. So everybody's not happy. You got to understand, when God gives you a vision, when God gives you a purpose, an assignment, and you begin to walk it out, and things begin to manifest piece by piece, portion by portion, segment by segment. When things begin to manifest, everybody's not shouting your name. Everybody's not slapping you on the back. Everybody is not proud for you. Everybody's not happy for you. Especially sometimes our very own in our household and around us, amen, that's in our area, in our realm of influence, everybody's not glad for you. My husband said it this way. He said, you know what? Everybody's glad as long as your idea, your program, your church, your ministry, your vision, your assignment, as long as it doesn't supersede what they're doing, or as long as yours does not arrive before theirs arrive, as long as you're underneath them and subservient and you're on your way up, then, oh, yeah, they'll encourage you all day long. Keep doing what you're doing. The Lord's going to help you one day. It's going to happen. Keep doing what you're doing. But until your name begins to get shouted out, until they start hearing, start seeing things begin to manifest on a bigger realm than what theirs is, then all of a sudden people got a problem. People got an issue. All of a sudden, those encouragements don't become encouraging anymore. Those encouragements start becoming words of sarcasm. Well, you know, you should have like kind of waited so long. So-and-so down the street did the same thing, but, you know, it, what ended up happening to them, blah, 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 blah. I don't care about so-and-so. I'm caring about what I'm doing right now, what God has called me to do. But for many of us, we're so caught up with what's going on down the street. Amen. What's going on the Facebook? Who's doing what, when, and where? Let me tell you something about this Facebook, the book of the face, as my goddaughter likes to call it. The reality is, people of God, and this is not for everybody, so I'm not talking about everybody, but this is a lot of people. You can say a whole lot on Facebook because nobody has eyes to see what you're really doing. I could tell you that God came in and tore the place from the roof down to the very foundation. Ooh, you should have been there. You don't know what I'm doing. You don't know if I had church in my front room. You don't even know if 25 people showed up, 25,000 people showed up, or nobody showed up. But when I type that mess out on Facebook, I'm building myself up. Ooh, it was a, we had a time. Lord, we had a time. But no one can validate that I had a time. And most of the time, and like I said, it's not everybody people to God. So I'm not talking about everybody. But I know a lot of people on there. We don't see the evidence. We just hear what you got to say. And there are some churches, I'm only speaking from experience now of what I know. I've been to some places that were close by. Ooh, we had a time. You got to be here. Get out here. God is tearing the roof off. He's doing this. He's doing that. And I showed up. My husband showed up. We showed up ready to give God some glory. And wasn't even a mouse in there. Wasn't a whisper. Wasn't an ounce of the cloud. What we did find, a lot of hoop, a lot of holler, a lot of hype, but no manifestation of his glory. And we have a lot of folks on the Facebook that's doing a lot of hoop, a lot of holler, a lot of pump up, but we don't see the manifestation of his glory. So when Sanballat, back to the scripture, so when Sanballat heard chapter 4, and I'm doing this off the message right now, says when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he exploded in anger. Remember now, still talking about that opposition. Everybody's not glad for you. He said when he exploded in anger, reviling the Jews in the company of the Samaritans or the Samaritan cronies. In other words, misery loves company. Folks can't just talk about it themselves. They got to bring in their little crew, build up a following against you. They can't stand each other, but they got one thing in common, one goal, and that's they don't like you. He said, in the company of the Samaritan cronies and military, he let loose. What are these miserable Jews doing? Do they think they can get everything back to normal overnight? Thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me pause here for just 2 seconds. Some of you, amen, God has his hand up on your life, and he's had his hand up on your life very strong. People around you have watched you, and because God is transitioning you, he's taking you through some hard places. You done lost some things. You done lost many things, amen? And all the while, the people have been in the background watching you lose things. Things been slipping out of your hand, losing home, losing cars, losing jobs. Maybe you've lost your church building. Maybe you lost the ministry that was fathered, that God had birthed through you. Maybe you gone through a sickness. Do you understand what I'm saying? Maybe there's been some challenges, amen, that the Lord has allowed in your life, but you have not surpassed. You have not succumbed. You have not let the hallelujah go out of your mouth. You still keep a praise in your mouth. You still keep your hands waved. You still saying God is able. Your faith has not wavered. Now at home you may be crying. At home you may be shaking. But when you walk out of those doors, you're still smiling. You still say God is in control. He still gets the glory. And the entourage that's been in the background has been watching you. They watched you lose everything. They watched your name be ridiculed, and they watched you been persecuted, and they've been watching you going through, and they've been running their mouths about you. And you're still saying, but God is able to restore. Just watch. He's going to restore this. And they're back here talking about, yeah, you was at the height at one time, brother. You was at your height at one time, sister. But it's never going to happen again. You think you're going to get all this back? Oh, yeah, when you had it, you was number one. You thought you was all this. You thought you was all that. But now look at you, how the mighty have fallen. Listen, you don't know people and how they feel about you until they see you at a bad point or at a low point. He says, do they think they can get everything back to normal overnight? That's what they're saying about you, man, a God child of God. You think God's going to come back and restore everything? Maybe there's some sin in your life. That's the reason why everything was taken. Maybe some people even believe, amen, that, you know, God is, your pride was all out there and you were very arrogant, and so the Lord had to knock it down a couple of pegs. Listen, I'm telling you what I know. People are not excited, amen, about what God is doing or what he has done in your life. But you, I'm encouraging you, man of God, you woman of God, keep going forward. Keep the praise in your mouth. Keep the hallelujah in your mouth. Keep the word in the atmosphere of what he's going to do. He is going to restore all the years. He is going to bring you back up on the mountaintop. But all the while, he knows that as he's bringing you up, you're still shouting out his name. You're still giving him glory. When you were down in the valley, you didn't change. You were still shouting his name, and you were still giving him glory. How much more are you going to give it to him when you get back up on top? Let them run their mouths. Let them people talk. Shake it off. Don't let that spirit get up on you. Shake it off. Says, do they think they can get everything back to normal overnight? Make building stones out of make-believe? Oh, yeah, some people think you done passed your prime, passed your time. But all God is doing is turning the page. That's all he's doing, turning the page. Verse 3, he said, at his side, Tobiah the Ammonite jumped in and said, that's right. What do they think they're building? Why, if a fox climbed that wall, it would fall to pieces under his weight. Oh, yeah, you trying to open up another church building, but, you know, you lost the last building, and now you're trying to go back here and open up another building. But now you can't afford that big building that you used to have. Now you're in a hotel room. Baby, that's okay. Glorify in that hotel room. You hear me? Glorify him in that hotel room. Wherever you may be, give his name glory. He said, so Nehemiah, this is Nehemiah talking now, he prayed and said, oh, listen to us, dear God. We're so despised. Boomerang their ridicule on their heads. Have their enemies cart them off as war trophies to a land of no return. Don't forgive their iniquity. Don't wipe away their sin. They've insulted the builders. Now let me say this, people of God, because we're living in the New Testament, I want to make clarity. Don't sit here and pray for people's demise and despise. The Bible says we're supposed to pray for our enemies. I need to make this clear because some folks still got this confused. And the reason why I say that, because I still hear people that believe that if you mess with me, I'm just going to pray and then watch all hell be released against you. First of all, no one has that type of power and authority. You may have did it once or twice and it looked like God moved. But really, the Bible, you're actually doing opposite of what the Bible is saying. The Bible said, pray for your enemies. And as you're praying for them and doing good towards them, you're reaping, pouring coals of fire up on their head. In other words, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't you go out there trying to pray the wrath of God down upon people. That's not your responsibility. That's not my responsibility. What he told me to do was pray for my enemies. And as I pray, and as I do good towards them, I'm pouring coals of fire up on their head. And as you keep doing what God has told you to do, after a while, he'll take care of that. And the one thing that I know about God is that he always manages to make sure that you hear the outcome down the road. Oh, huh. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. He'll make sure. I've been in other states, other places. People have come against, amen, the ministry, come against my husband and myself. We kept our peace, loved them still, prayed for them, blessed them. But, oh, baby, after a while, went on down the road, God made sure, some way, somehow, you always managed to hear. Oh, you remember so-and-so, so-and-so? Yeah, I think so, yes. Well, they blah, 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 and blah, 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 blah. Some went to jail. Some aren't even here anymore. I don't gloat in that. I'm not gloating now. But I'm saying to say this. Let God handle that. You up here trying to pray hell all down on them, trying to pray their demise, want to kill them and everything else. The devil got you blinded. He got you angry. He got you bitter. And he's blocking your prayers. He got you blinded with red anger. You need to ask for forgiveness yourself. Let the Lord cleanse your soul and your spirit. Get delivered. Get healed. You don't know what they did to me. It doesn't matter, man of God, woman of God. It doesn't matter what they did to you because somebody has been done worse than that. The problem is it's stopping you from going forward because I guarantee you they're sleeping at night. They're moving on with their lives. You're the one who stopped living. And since you're the one who stopped living, who's really in control? They still have control. Let it loose. Ask God to come in and cleanse that and take that root of bitterness up out of you. Take that root of hurt out of you. Kill that gangrene that is in there so that you can go forward. So there were some times, some places in my life, I said, God, this thing hurts so deep, I can't forgive on my own. Help me to forgive. Take it out of my heart because I know that my prayers are being hindered because I refuse to forgive. I can't let it go. And for some of y'all, y'all still holding on to things that happened 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. Folks have, even the ones that did it to you, they're no longer here. And you still holding on. You don't even realize what they did. It's been so long. Or if they are here, they done moved on down the road. Prospering, and you sitting here curled up in a corner, contorted in your spirit, turned all up inside out because of what somebody did to you. Get the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask for forgiveness. Ask him to help you to walk it out. Ask him to help you forgive so when you look at these people, you still don't feel that pull. When you see them or hear their voice, you still don't remember. You still can't recall. You're still not trying to recall the time and the date. Well, Prophet, I just won't forget. I didn't say you had to forget it. What I'm saying is you forgive them. So when you see them, you're not trying to, that situation is not ruling and reigning and running over like a broken tape recorder in your mind. You see them, you love them, you got a smile on your face, light in your eyes, you're moving on. You're not being held hostage. And you are because nothing's working for you. Don't ask me why I'm holding here. I'm staying here. The Holy Ghost has me here. Some of y'all got to let these things go. Let the people go. Let the situation go. Some of y'all are even mad at God because you're taking me through all of this and I don't understand because God knows where he wants you to go. Let him get you to the place he's really truly designed for you. You're just being satisfied with this little plate when he wants to give you the whole region. And you're satisfied with this small portion. Let him stretch you. Let him enlarge you. Let him take you there so that when he brings those blessings to you, you can be a blessing unto him and unto the kingdom instead of a reproach. And you're so busy trying to fight and hold on to this little corner, and God is trying to get you to see that I have a region for you. And you still try, this is mine, this is mine. I just want to hold on to what's mine. It doesn't belong to any of us. It all belongs to him. And when you get that in your spirit and get that in your mind that this is not your vision, this is not your dream, this is not your assignment, it's what God has given you to complete in the earth. You are his hands, his feet, his mouthpiece in the earth. And when you get to the understanding that it's his will and not your will, then your life will be a lot more easier, a lot more smoother, a lot more friendlier, accepting of other things and other people. Get off the ownership. Pull yourself back. Tell him to open up your eyes so that you can see beyond what's in front of you and see what he's really doing. And let him grow you and stretch you and bring your faith to a level where you can handle what he's really designed for you to do. Pray for those enemies. Verse 6. Nehemiah's talking here. So we kept at it. So in other words, with all the hate that was going on, with all the ridicule that was going on, with all the lies that was going on, he said we kept at it, kept pushing, kept building, kept fighting, kept believing, kept the word of God in our mouth, kept our faith high, kept fasting, kept praying, kept giving praise, kept giving glory, didn't shake to the left, didn't move to the right. No matter what everybody else was doing, didn't allow ourselves to get discouraged. We kept at it. Despise not the day of small beginnings. Keep at it. Don't give up. Keep at it. We kept at it, repairing and rebuilding the wall. Everything that he shows you, keep at it. Keep building it. Keep growing it. Keep moving forward in it. Stay faithful. Stay friendly. Don't get out here on your own island and act like you can't talk to nobody. I'm just going to do all this by myself. It's just me and Jesus alone. Me and Jesus alone. Yes, you and Jesus alone, but at the same time, no man is an island unto himself. You got to get out and fellowship. You got to get out and network. You got to get out and talk to other folk. There's strength in numbers. Wisdom comes in a multitude of counsel. There's a difference between networking and you coming in trying to take everything that what other people are doing. Not talking about that. But at the same time, you don't have to be at everybody's concert. You ain't got to be at everybody's program. You don't have to be at everybody's church function. You know, fellowship, show yourself friendly. But remember, you got a vision. You have a task. You have an assignment that must be completed. Keep at it. If ain't nobody giving you an attaboy, know that the Holy Ghost is. Keep at it. Nobody patting you on the back. Know that there's somebody in the corner pushing you. Keep at it. Know that somebody's praying for you. Keep at it. Keep building. Keep working. It says the whole wall was soon joined together and halfway to its intended height because the people had a mind to work. When you're focused on what you have been given, when you're focused on your task, then it doesn't matter what's going on next door. Doesn't matter what's going on down the street. Doesn't matter what's going on around the corner. Doesn't make a difference who's doing what. You stay faithful to your assignment. And as you stay faithful to your assignment, God will continue to add to you. Continue to add to you. Until after a while, the whole wall was soon joined together. Why? Because the people had a mind to build. If God has called you to be a leader and he's given you people to help support that vision, they believe in the vision of God in you and they believe in the vision of God that's in you and he has set people there, they will help you to build. But if you're not a visionary and you're talking about, well, I don't know what we need to do. I don't know. I'm just going to pray. We're going to see what happens, see what the Lord say. How long you think people are going to stay with you? Folks want to be led. Folks need to see that you have a vision. Folks need to see things manifest on the vision that you have. Whether it's a small portion, people, as long as I see something, I can support something. It's when I have been with you for a long time and still don't see anything. And I'm not necessarily talking about I got to see a building. I got to see, when I say I don't see anything, I'm talking about I need to see that God is with you. I need to see lives that you've been touching. I need to see people that have been changed, amen, by your ministry. I need to see the hand of the Lord moving in your life. If I'm with you and I don't see the hand of God moving in your life, I don't see people's lives being changed. I don't see nobody being touched. I don't see nobody being affected. It's not just about getting a building. It's about the hand of God moving and the lives that are being shaped that are under your assignment. If I can't see that, then I need to move on. Now, if you have a man or woman of God and God is moving, but because it's not up to your terms, well, and, you know, I still don't see this, that, and the other, prophetess, and this, that, and the other. We still got five people. But in those five people, where were they at last year? Spiritually. Have they grown? Have they matured? Are they moving forward? These are the things we got to look at, y'all. We get too stuck in looking at certain specific things and saying, this got to be God, because if I don't see this, then this ain't God. But if I see those five that are with you and those five who used to be hellraisers, all of a sudden now they're starting to turn the cheek. All of a sudden now they're not trying to cuss anymore. All of a sudden now they're showing up at church instead of once a month. Now they're actually coming every time the door is open. That's change. That's growth. That's God doing the work. People had a mind to build. Now, if you can't recognize that because you're looking at, well, I still don't see this building, then that's your vision. That's askewed. That means something in you is not lined up with your leader, because y'all looking at two different things. And if the enemy can bring division in at any point in time, he will. Don't be the weakest link. Make sure your vision lines up with that man or that woman of God. Your vision ain't going to be greater than a man or woman of God. But your vision needs to line up with him or her. And the people had a mind to work. You can't work in division. You can't work where there's strife. You can't work where there's two-facedness. You can't work in all of this mess. You can't work when there's trying to be two heads. There's only one leader. There's only one vision. And we as the body got to line up with the vision that has been given to the man of God. In our house, my husband's the visionary. He's the pastor. Even though I co-pastor with him, I and everybody else under me got to line up with his vision that God has given him. I'm not coming in there talking about, well, this is the vision that God has really said. No. I got to submit just like everybody else. Get myself lined up and in order and making sure that I have a heart to work, because I'm telling you, the enemy will get in where he sees a weak area and deter you. So you got to always keep your head and mind focused. The people had a heart for the work. He says, verse 7, when Sanballat, Tobiah, and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairs of the walls of the of Jerusalem were going to so well that the breaks in the wall were being fixed, they were absolutely furious that they put their heads together and decided to fight against Jerusalem and create as much trouble as they could. Now, here is where a lot of people fall prey. Because when they get an entourage, when the people decide, the folks in the background that have been running their mouths about you, because they don't like what they see, or in other words, you done came along within 5 or 10 years and have done more work than what they've done in 20 to 25. Folks aren't too happy to see you. Folks aren't glad that you're in their territory. People don't want change. They like the status quo. Huh? And when you begin to even the playing ground, people tend to have an issue with that. So they'll get back and sit at a coffee table. Neither one of them like each other, but they have a common enemy, and that enemy may be you. And they'll sit here and come together and say, we gonna do this, we ain't gonna do that, we gonna make sure that this person don't go over here, they don't go over there. Every time they have a program, we gonna make sure our program go on before them or at the same time. Therefore, our people can't go over there. When they try to do this, I need you to send a spy over. Listen, I'm telling you what I know. And it's not to the point where I'm like, we preaching on the haters. It's not about the haters, because really what the Bible is saying, opposition will come, which means the haters will come. It's a part of the process. And if you get this in your head, it's a part of the process, then you won't be shouting out about all the haters that hate you. It's a part of the process. And when I realize it's a part of my process, then I'll have to keep preaching about my haters. Because the more I keep preaching about my quote-unquote haters, I'm glorifying them more than I'm glorifying Jesus. And the devil is a lie. I'm a glorified God. I realize that in this process, hateration, as they call it, must happen. But you ain't got to get turned up in it. You don't have to get flipped out. They don't have to see another side of you. You don't have to lay down your Christianity. You don't have to do none of that. Just realize that it's part of God's processing. Opposition will come. Can you still fight and move opposition? Can you still fight in the press? Can you still go through during the press? So now they're furious. They hating. They hot. They ticked off that you're starting to do good. So now they want to try to come together. They want to come together. And I'm going back to the New King James Version, or the King James Version, and say it like this. And in verse 8, and conspired all of them. And conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Oh, yeah. In other words, the enemy done got in their heart because you starting to make a change. You starting to make a wave. You starting to make a ripple. And now people are coming together and they trying to conspire against you. But you know what? Let them. You ain't got to show up at nobody's church talking about, Pastor, can I speak to you? I see you got my name in your mouth. Listen, no, babe, you ain't got to be ugly like that. You ain't got to be vile. You ain't got to go back to your unsaved days. You don't have to do none of that. You ain't got to show up in nobody's church letting them know. They just need to see me. They just need to know that I know. No, don't nobody need to know you know anything. Just know, let the Lord show you. You still keep working. Yeah, they conspire against you, said all evil men are against you, but you just keep working. Psalms 83, verses 3 through 5 says this. They have taken crafty counsel against your people and consulted together against your sheltered ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation that the name of Israel may be remembered no more. For they have consulted together with one consent. They formed a confederacy. Let them conspire. Let them come together. Because their whole purpose is to try to hinder you or hinder the vision that God placed in you. You can't let nobody take you off of focus in this season. You can't let nobody get in your head and voice be louder than the voice of God. You can't let your fears rule your life this season. You can't let family or friends have an upper hand in your life. You better listen to me this morning. You cannot let your past rise up out the ashes and begin to dictate to you. This is a moment now. The Bible says now is the acceptable time. Now is the time, for you to move forward more so than ever. Now is the time. I'm even going to say it this way. Now is the time to pick up faith. Now is the time to have faith in God. Now is the time to believe God. You need to say it with me. I believe God. I don't care where you are. If you're in your bathroom, I don't care if you're driving your car. I don't care if you're in your church service. I don't care if you're in the grocery store. You need to say, I believe God, and I trust you. Because now more than ever, people are going to conspire. People are already conspiring. This isn't the time for you to back up. This isn't the time for you to go trembling in the corner. This isn't not the time for you to take your toys and go home. This isn't the time for you to go running around and come backsliding. This is not the time for you to go grab your toys and go home. This ain't the time for you to not show up at church for 2 or 3 weeks hoping somebody call your name. This is not the time for you to switch out ministries all of a sudden because don't nobody like you. Listen, baby, this is the time for you to get back on your prayer grind. This is the time for you to get back in your faith and cry out and travail before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the time for you to put the word of God in your mouth and begin to speak into the atmosphere and begin to speak his word, decree and declare. This is the time for you to pull out the roots of darkness, tear down the walls of discontentment, throw away the smoke screen, amen. Begin to cast the devil out of the lies, first out of your mind, your life, and then get them out the lives of everybody else that that God has attached you to, and begin to move forward, grind forward, take back what the enemy has stolen from you in this hour. The people had a mind to work. Amen. I'm going to quit right here, but I'm not done. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you. Oh, yes, God, we believe you. We believe you and we have faith in you. We trust you, God, that you are going to lead us and guide us in this moment. Now is the acceptable time for us to move forward. God, right now, doubt, take out the unbelief, unroot it now in the name of Jesus. Cleanse our minds, our souls, our spirits. Forgive us, God, for being scared of our own shadow. Forgive us for fighting against your process in the name of Jesus. God, we give your name all praise and glory and honor. We thank you right now in Jesus' name we pray. Now, those of you who are not saved, please repeat this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and my life. I give you my soul, my mind, my body. Do it with me as you will. I will serve you until you come. Thanking you now in Jesus' name we pray. If you prayed that prayer, welcome into the kingdom of God. We at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries are already praying for you and believing that God is going to lead you to a Bible believing and teaching church that's going to bring you into the things of God, bringing you into your assignment. in the kingdom. Amen and amen. Listen, people of God, I need you to go to my website, www.ctkr.org. Pray about becoming a vision and a missionary, a partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel around the world. Also, go to my Facebook page, Women of Prophetic Destiny, as well as Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Like us there. Put your prayer requests in and your praise reports in. We want to pray for you. We want to call out your name to God, and we're going to watch him do what he said he was going to do on your behalf. Listen, I'm Prophetess McQueen. Join Apostle McQueen and myself once again for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast next week at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday at 7 p.m. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.